This has been our theme for this month, and so all can hear, and our focus this month is on missions, and it's our heart's desire that even though I may never step foot on foreign soil in China, in Brazil, in Europe, although I might have a chance to go to Europe this coming fall, crossing my fingers, maybe, if I never step foot on that land and meet any foreign person from that country, I know that I am impacting the lives of the people there when I support missions. And so this is what we're talking about, missions this month. And today, so all can hear Jesus, so all can hear Jesus saves, so that all can hear you don't have to live your life and die with the hope or the mystery of where you're going to go when you die. You can live your life knowing you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're living with Him, and one day when you leave this place and you go to the other side of eternity, you go to the other side, you will be with Him forever and ever and ever. You can know this by knowing Jesus Christ. And so it is our desire that people would hear about Jesus. If you'll look around where you're sitting, you'll see some of these little cards. And it was our desire not to show or pass these cards out until today, and then also keep them out for next Sunday. But this is just a piece of paper. Everybody, if you see one, just pick it up. You know, it's just paper. Okay, you don't have to sign. Sign your name on the bottom in blood or anything like that. It's a commitment that you make with God. You say, God, in your time of prayer, God, how much do you want me to support missions? For the next 6 months, God, how much, God, can I support missions with? What's the amount? God, put it on my heart, God. And Lord, because I know that with your help, God, I'm going to reach it. With your help, God, I'm going to reach this goal. So for the next 6 months, what would be your financial support to missions? You just fill that out, and one part you kind of tear off, and that'll be a memory for you to put in your Bible. And the other part you just, drop it or give it to one of the ushers before the end of the service if you want to fill it out. But this is the thing. I don't want you to fill it out right now. Well, why not? I feel good. I feel like in the mood to give. Well, I don't want you to feel. I don't want you to get in the mood and feel to give. I want you to hear what God says. Feelings come and go. And you might feel like, oh yeah, you have a dollar sign right now, and you're going to go ahead and put that right there. Next month, you just don't feel like it. So guess what? Next month, you're not going to give it. Why? Well, because you don't feel it. But it's a different story if you go to God and you say, God, how much? And God says this amount. And this is cool when this happens, because when God gives me amount and I tell Shannon, I say, hey, I feel like God's telling me this. She's like, that's what God told me. Cha-ching! Here's your sign. This is what we know we're supposed to give. And so it's better off to find out what God says. So all can hear. And so also in some of the rows, some of the seats, you'll find a little pamphlet. What is a faith pledge? It kind of just describes what this is. It's a commitment that you make with God when God tells you how much for the next 6 months, what to give to missions. And that's what a faith pledge is. But you got to trust and commit to God. God, I'm trusting you. I'm committing to you that this is what I'll give with your help. So let's go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verses 30. It's a story. In your Bibles, there might be a heading, and it might say the Good Samaritan. Okay? The parable of the Good Samaritan. Verse 30 says, then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, everyone repeat this with me, he had compassion. He had compassion. That's key right there of this whole story. Not that he had money. Not that he had a little wagon to put the guy that he found on the side of the road. He had compassion. Verse 34. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil, he had compassion. So he poured on oil and wine, and he had compassion. And he set him on his own animal, and he had compassion. Brought him to an inn, because he had compassion. Took care of him. On the next day, because he had compassion, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave it to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, because I have compassion on him. Take care of him, and whatever you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? I kind of made it easy for you because I kept repeating because he had compassion. Verse 37, and he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus replied, said to him, go and do likewise. Lord, we just come to you and we thank you. We thank you, God, that you look at every single one of us in this room. You know where we came from and you love us. You know where we're at right now and you still love us. You got a plan and a purpose for us and each and every single one of us, and you love us. Thank you, God, for showing us what compassion is. What compassion truly is, God, comes from you. What love, true love, really is, it's what you demonstrate, God. It's who you are. It's what comes out of you, God. So, Father, I pray that your Spirit would reveal to us today your truth about your compassion. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, Joe, I got a slide of the Donalds family, the Donaldson family, if you want to put that up there, please. Yes. Oh, my left side collar's up. Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. All right. Not on TV? No, I'm not on TV. All right. So this is the Donaldson family. Remember I told you Convoy of Hope? It started with a family that something tragic happened to them. Well, this is the Donaldson family. When I was 9, this is Hal talking, when I was 9, my father was killed and my mother debilitated when a drunken driver slid across the divide, crashed into their car head on. For several months, my mother lay in a hospital fighting for her life. I was scared about where my siblings and I would end up. My older brothers, or my brothers Hal, Steve, and my sister Susan were seemingly all I had. And I wondered if we would be able to stay together or be separated and sent to live with relatives and friends. After all, who would take in 4 children between the ages of 6 and 12? The Davis family stepped up and took in all 4 of us. They had a small trailer and 2 children of their own, but the 8 of us became bound together. I was so grateful to have that feeling of a close-knit family. That's the way we look at things at Convoy of Hope, too. Like a close-knit family, we want to be the common bond that ties together our friends who give and our friends who receive. We want to be like the Davises to every person we come in contact with, no matter which side of the equation they're on. We've served more than 70 million people since 1994, but there's no way we could have done that without our faithful partners who continually give their time through volunteering and their resources through gifts and donations. Together, we've provided shoes, flu shots, food, medical screenings, Bibles, water, medicine, education and training, even power washers to those in need. Thank you for being a part of our family, for trusting us with your gift so we can continue to be that bond, just like the Davises. On behalf of Convoy of Hope and the more than 70 million others, we appreciate you. Go to the next slide, Joe, please. That's our Vice President, Mike Pence, and this happened last year. In the fall, and he's standing right in front of 2 semi-trucks, Convoy of Hope. It's not just for a picture, you know, picturesque kind of thing, just for, you know, the news. But Convoy of Hope was there before the vice president showed up. Convoy of Hope was there to provide food, clothing, blankets, socks, water. And they'll do this even after the media is already gone. I mentioned this on Wednesday. If those of you remember the tornadoes that went through Atlanta about 3 or 4 years ago. Convoy of Hope showed up. They were there to feed. They were there to clothe. They were there to help and minister to the people in Atlanta and in Alabama. A lot of people died because of that tornado, but Convoy of Hope was there. Even when ABC, NBC, and Fox, they all left, Convoy of Hope was still there. This is what Convoy of Hope does. They minister. And it all started because a family received compassion from a family called the Davises. And because of that compassion, Hal and I think it's Hal, Mike, and Susan, and there was another brother, Steve, they all grew up. When they grew up, they came together and they said, hey, what can we do? And they came about and they brought up Convoy of Hope. The reason why I share this is because throughout the hallway, before you leave, I want to encourage you to just walk through the hallway and just read one of those posters that are in the hallway. And just mention, or I mean, and just read through those posters that are in the hallway and just look at what is mentioned there about one day. It's our desire, March 25th. Everyone say March 25th. It's going to be our time to show compassion. That's not to say that Hidden Treasures has not ever shown compassion. We have. We've shown compassion to the nursing home. We've shown compassion to giving backpacks away. We've shown compassion by giving food and bread away. We've shown compassion by one day going out trying to give free light bulbs. And it's funny when people don't want to receive free light bulbs. They work, honestly, but people don't want to receive it. Something's wrong with that. And so it's our desire to continue. And so March 25th, everyone say March 25th? It's called One Day, our one day to transform their everyday. And it's a challenge to the people of Hidden Treasures. That one day salary, I don't know what it is. I don't know what your one day salary is. But if you need some math, we can find some people to help you with some math, all right, to figure out what your one day salary is. And we ask that you will commit to give one day a salary to Convoy of Hope's one day. That kid Baraka, I like that. They didn't teach him how to fish, but they taught him how to grow. They taught him how to take care of chickens. Convoy of Hope showed up, and they taught him how he can earn a living for his family. And I like that, because I like that saying, you know, don't try to, you know, of course, it just left me. It's better off to teach them how to learn how to fish. It's better off to teach them how to fish. It's important that we do what we can. And so this is a challenge to all of Hidden Treasures. March 25th, one day transforms their everyday. So let's go back to this story. You see, because this story, this parable, in your Bible, it might say the Good Samaritan, but did Jesus ever call him good? Question. Shout it out. No. Jesus talked about his goodness, but Jesus never said, hey, let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a parable of a good Samaritan. He just said, hey, let me tell you a story about a man who's a Samaritan, who he was walking down the street and he saw this person who was mugged and beat up. It's interesting if you look for it, and I helped you just in case it, you know, went over your head. You didn't listen. But what makes this man from Samaria better than the others? In this story, he had compassion. There was a priest. He knew about God. He should have stopped, shouldn't he? Yes. There was a Levite. He's in the family of a bunch of priests. He should have stopped. And there was a Samaritan. He had compassion. Just maybe, because this is all we know about this Samaritan. Just maybe he knew God because he knew about compassion. And so this man from Samaria, Jesus points out, he asks him, hey, so out of these three, who do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And the guy said, and the person who asked the question, he said, the one who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said, go and do likewise. Was the Samaritan man good because he had money to spare? Think about it. Was the man good because he had spare time? I mean, the guy actually had, you know, some gauze or bandages in his pocket or in his knapsack. He actually had an animal with him. And so was it because he had all those things? No, it was clearly what verse 33 says. He had compassion. Think about it. How much compassion do you have? And a matter of fact, what kind of compassion do you have? Because if it's not God's compassion, that compassion will slowly fade. It'll slowly go away. But if it's God's compassion, you'll know the right attitude to have and the right attitude to maintain. So my first point, God's compassion in us affects our attitude. Let's go to the next slide, Joe, where it talks about compassion. Compassion, it's a cross of with Jesus on it. On the bottom it says, so death worketh in us, but life in you. 2 Corinthians 4:12. That's compassion. God had compassion on us, and while he knew you were a sinner, yet he still sent Jesus to die for you. And attitude. Attitude means a predisposition or a tendency to respond positively or negatively towards a certain idea, object, person, or situation. How many of you had an attitude this morning? Come on. Somebody didn't make you breakfast. Somebody burnt the toast. Somebody didn't put your clothes in the dryer. So now you got to wait for the clothes to, you know, to dry or unwrinkle. You had an attitude today. Well, listen, God's compassion, if it's in us, it'll affect our attitude. A healthy attitude in giving creates no excuses. and you respond with God's compassion led by the Holy Spirit, an unhealthy attitude, you will despise new opportunities to give. So when I was mentioning about March 25th, mentioning about one day's salary, maybe some of you on the inside, because there's an unhealthy attitude. Oh, I can't believe he's asking us to do that. Maybe that happened. I don't know. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit handle that. But an unhealthy attitude despises new opportunities to give, despises, looks away from opportunities, does what the Levite and the priest did. They walked on the other side of the street and they walked past the man who was left there. An unhealthy attitude creates an ignorance to God's mission. I don't want to know it. I don't even want to hear it. Oh, we're talking about missions again. All the pastors talking about money. That's an unhealthy attitude. Allow God to take care of that. An unhealthy attitude also means that there could be pride. Oh, I give more than everybody else. They want the best giver to give. I'm going to get. That can also be an unhealthy attitude because it's all about you, not God flowing through you or God's compassion flowing through you. God's compassion answers the question to why are you giving? Anybody ever have family members that ask you, why do you tithe? Why do you give to that church? That church is just getting rich off of your own hard-earned money. Well, when you have God's compassion flowing through you, it answers that question, why do you give? Because God gave me all. Why are you serving that church? Because Jesus came to serve and he gave himself for me. It answers the question, why do you even care about missions? Because there are a lot of people that don't know Jesus. And this is a way that people can find Jesus. There's a lot of people in Camden County. So this is a way that people can come to know Jesus Christ. Remember I mentioned the month of March is going to be very active. A lot of things going on. There's a Pinewood Derby that I forgot to mention. So Jim and Sam, sorry. But if you want to, and this is open up for adults too. So guys, if you want to be able to have, you know, hey, the best in show or the fastest Pinewood Derby, they're $5. See Jim and Sam if you want to. So it's also opened up to adults. But also parents, if you have children, enroll Rangers and Missionettes because girls can race too. If you have children in Missionettes or Royal Rangers, see Jim and Sam to purchase an extra car or one car for your children and one for yourself. So, but that's going to be March 17th. March 25th is what? One day. Our one day transforms there every day. But also in March, what we're going to ask you to do. How many of you guys go on walks? You go walk around your neighborhood. All right. How many of you just drive? You like to just drive around, you got a new ride, like to drive around your car, right? Okay. All right, so whether you drive or whether you walk, in the month of March, we're going to ask everyone to hit a couple of the towns in our county and pray. So if you walk, it's a good, healthy thing to do. As a matter of fact, in March, there's actually, I was about to say CareNet, but it's Skylark. Skylark, right? Yeah. And so there's a fundraiser for Skylark. And you're going to walk with a bunch of people that are raising money for the CareNet, for the Skylark Pregnancy Center here in Camden County. But if you're going to walk in your neighborhood, you start to pray. Well, what do you pray? Well, how many people in your neighborhood do you know that are Christians? Well, there's not many. Well, there you go. You could pray that. Lord, I pray as I walk by. And hey, look, if you look weird, then look weird for Jesus. But just walk down the street with your hand like this. Lord, in Jesus' name. I just pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that family right there, I don't know, God, if that family's having difficult family marriage issues, but Father, I pray that they'll come to know you. And you just keep walking. Lord, I just pray for them. And so maybe people will know you as the weird person walking around with your hand to their houses. But if they ask you, hey, what are you doing? I'm praying. I'm praying for my neighbors. I'm praying for you. Hey, is there anything I could be praying about? This is something that we get to do. Again, it's much safer to think about it, right? It's much safer to think, oh, yeah, I'll give. Oh, yeah, I'll go tell someone about Jesus. Oh, yeah, I'll go pray. But it's another thing that when we actually do it. The priest and the Levite, they might have thought, well, if I had time and, well, if I had the ability, I'd go help him. And it was just a thought. Oh, yeah, somebody needs to help him. But not until someone actually did something. And that's what Jesus tells us to do. Show mercy on people. And he tells the gentleman who asked the question, go and do likewise. So having a healthy attitude, it helps when we have God's compassion, that it creates a healthy attitude in us to give, to be concerned, to even care. And then also God's compassion answers the question, are there any regrets? Seriously, is there any regrets And anyone in this room that you gave to missions, knowing that missionaries were able to share the gospel, missionaries were able to show the Jesus film on a speed the light screen, on a speed the light projector, so that over 300 people can come to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you have any regrets in that? Absolutely not. So having God's compassion flows through you helps with those questions. Because I'm connected to God's compassion, it flows through me to the point that others are able to see Him in me. This should flow through every single one of us. When we look to the Lord in how He loves and how He leads us in loving others, we change. Now, for some, it changes overnight. For others, it takes time to change. It takes time for that old attitude, that selfish, prideful attitude, to kick the bucket and get out of here. It might take a day or two. For some, it's overnight, because there's a revelation of how much God loves you that you're like, God, take my money. God, take my car, take my house if need be. Because I've realized anything and everything that I have is not mine, it's yours. Having His compassion flows through us gets us to that point. I'm not sure if there are any of you in here are there where you're saying, God, whatever I have, it's all yours. When you say, let it all go, I'll let it all go. It's important to get there, but you can't get there without His compassion. The heart of God, the plans of God, the kingdom of God, it all matters and means something to you. Next slide, Joe, please. His compassion brings the correct and best attitude in us. Now, I came across this, and this is for parents. So parents, listen up. But then, this is awesome. How to cultivate compassion in your children. Lead by example, show compassion and empathy to others. Your children will follow. Talk to your children about poverty. Make it age appropriate. Read together books about compassionate people. Martin Luther King, Gandhi, Mother Teresa. Volunteer with your children in food drives by donating or by offering your services. That goes up to the first one. Your children will follow if you lead by example. And then lastly, have your children go through their gently used toys. Let them pick up what they'd like to donate. How many of you have ever done any one of those things with your children? Do you know that God does that to us? He shows that right in here. He shows us this. He shows us how to have compassion. He shows us how to have generosity. He shows us why. He shows us, I did it first, so you should follow. When I came across that, I was like, hey, that's good, Shannon. That's good stuff. You know, we do some of those things. And I mean, we even asked the kids, hey, get some of your, you know, all the toys that are just loaded up in your closet. Let's get rid of them. Let's go ahead and donate. Let's give them to somebody. And so those are all great things for us to follow. They are great things for us to live by according to Scripture. And again, if you don't have God's compassion in you and flowing through, this is key, flowing through you, there's blockage somewhere and there's a problem. Go to God and ask God, Lord, show me. Show me where I'm being stingy, God. Show me, God, where I come up with excuses every time you provide an opportunity to give or to serve. Show me, God, when I'm so stuck on myself that I'm not stuck on you, God. That your plans and your desires become more important. I believe this is why we as believers need to understand and need to follow Matthew chapter 6. Let's go to there. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. This is why Christians ought to do something about the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek last. No, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Not yours, His righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. What are all these things? The verses before verse 33? All the provisions, all the necessities for your life. It'll all fall into place when you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Verse 34, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will tarry about its own things. You may not even see tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. But you know what? Doesn't today have its own issues? Doesn't today have its own problems? Doesn't today have its own opportunities for all of us to keep our eyes focused on God and praise God and thank God and look to God, for He is our help? Yes, we ought to do that today. Today is the day the Lord has made. We shall choose to what? Not whine, fuss, cry. We must choose to rejoice and to be glad in it. Amen. My second point is that God's compassion leads us to give. Regardless of what we've done, where we came from, God gave first. He loved us first and he gave first. His compassion for us leads us to have compassion for others. Let me go to the next slide, Joe. Giving is worship. Giving back to the one who first gave. Whatever you give, let me just mention this. If you've given something to somebody, has anybody ever done that? You've given something to somebody? Do you know that you gave it to God first? Now, if you were giving it because out of generosity, out of love, out of his compassion, because if you were just giving it because, hey, if I give this to them, do you think they'll give that to me? That's really not God's kind of giving, is it? If that was God's kind of giving, do you think that he would have given Jesus? No, because we would not have given him righteousness back. We wouldn't have. How many of us lied? How many of us cheated? How many of us had bad attitudes and bad thoughts? When God gave Jesus, he gave Jesus even though he knew you would have all of those things, all of those issues. So God didn't give like some of us might have given in the past, or some of you might even given today. I'm going to make breakfast because if I make breakfast today, I know she better make breakfast tomorrow. There's no love in that. There's no compassion in that. You ought to give because out of love and his compassion. So when we give, understand, you give somebody something, you're giving it to God first. You're giving it in his name. You're giving it with his love, with his compassion. And it benefits you just as much as it benefits the other person receiving. So we are to follow his lead, the leading of his love. With this healthy attitude, we learn to walk out in his compassion. Do you have fun giving? Because the Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. Do you really have fun in giving? I mean, when you get that pay increase, do you really say, praise God? Or you're like, oh no, I got to give more. That clearly shows a healthy attitude and an unhealthy attitude. I had to learn that with French fries. My kids, whenever I get French fries, I come home, it's in the back of my mind and it's shouting, save some for the kids. And it's like, oh, do I? And so I remember, and I do share with my children. I do share with my family. But I remember my dad coming home from work, and he would come home with a bag of not boiled peanuts. Ugh. He would come home with some roasted salted peanuts. He would come home from work with a bag of popcorn. He'd stop at the store, of course, to buy his lottery tickets. But he would come home with some bag of chips, Ruffles, Lay's, and of course, I was the youngest in the family, so everybody else was out of the house by then. But, you know, I remember him bringing stuff, and so it just always made me feel special. That's the benefit that we get. But I do believe that he benefited something also. And the fact that I'm buying something for my son, I'm buying something for my family, I'll leave it on the kitchen table and let them all fight for it, whatever. But compassion flows through that. Do you ever look forward to serving people? See, because if you have to fight against it, if you already have prior engagement, you're out of town or whatever, and someone needs service, that's one thing. That's a different story. But when someone says, "Hey, I need help," and you're like, "I got something else to do," where does that what kind of compassion are you being led by? It's definitely not the compassion of God. If you have the ability to serve, serve. If you have the ability to give, and God is telling you to give, give. If you have the ability to serve, and God's telling you to serve, serve. This is what God's compassion leads us to give. His compassion cost, did it not? He gave Jesus. Don't tell me God's compassion doesn't cost, because he gave his very best for all of us. Something happens when we're connected to God's compassion. And I have this little illustration here. Something happens when we're connected with God's compassion. Let's hope the light bulb works. When we're connected to God's compassion, we illuminate his love. We show some. We show. I mean, if this whole room was dark and I plugged this in just like this and there's light, it would illuminate the room. Every time we allow God's compassion to flow through us, we illuminate this world with his love. Not no made up phony love that's just here today, gone tomorrow. It's his love that impacts for all of eternity. And this is why we ought to be connected to him, connected with his compassion. Did you notice how much the Samaritan gave? Did you know how much he gave? He gave the bandage, he gave his time, he gave the innkeeper two coins and said, and then he said this, I'll come back and whatever you spent more than what I gave you, I'll repay you. He wasn't stingy. This was a sign of generosity, not stupidity. This was a sign of God's compassion, not pridefulness or selfishness. Ask yourself if you would gladly serve or if you would make excuses. Something about being connected to him illuminates the world with his love, to reveal his love, to reveal Christ. We ought to learn to walk in his generosity with cheerfulness. I mean, I'm not sure how many of you have ever like just got mad when God blessed you. Probably was the opposite. That when God blessed you, you clapped, you smiled, you might have cried. Being connected to God's compassion allows the flow of his current love to go through us. We ought to learn to give with generosity and with cheerfulness, and we can't do that outside his compassion. The next slide, please. His compassion leaves us with a choice. If your compassion doesn't include yourself, it is incomplete. And that's said by a guy by the name of Jack Kornfield. I don't know him. I've never heard of that name before, but I think that's a very good quote. If it doesn't include you, it's incomplete. So therefore, it ought to include you. That Samaritan, if he just would have tossed the coins at the guy who was laying there, tossed the bandage that was there, and just pulled the wagon up next to him, how would that have helped, man? How would that have helped him? Just toss the bandages over there to him. Just wheel over a little wagon and then just say, hey, see you later. It involved the Samaritan to even have those items. It involved the Samaritan even more when he picked him up and took him to the inn. Our hearts and lives who have experienced and learned of God's compassion, we have a choice. We can reciprocate God's compassion back to him and to others, or we can reject God's compassion and live with a distorted view of love. Because I'm telling you, if God's compassion isn't flowing through you, you are living a life with distorted kind of love. Because you can't expect to give half of yourself to God and half of yourself to the world and expect God to bless you with all that he has for you. James chapter 1, this even talks about our thoughts. Listen, James chapter 1 verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. Anybody need some wisdom, some major choices in your life? I pray that you come to God and ask God for wisdom if you haven't done so already. But you gotta listen here. Because it says here that God will give liberally without reproach and it will be given to him. But let that person ask in faith with no doubting. Let me read that again. Let that person ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. We can't expect to trust God halfway and expect God to bless us all the way. Anybody, does this affect anybody? The fact that you have one day might have decided to give God half. One foot's in the world, one foot's in the church. But yet you expect God to bless you and rain his blessings onto you. That ain't going to happen. That can't happen. You can't expect God to do that. Why? Because God requires all of us. You know, I didn't read the verses before the story of the Good Samaritan for this reason. I wanted us to look at what the Good Samaritan did. But now let's move up to Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Because there was a conversation going on with Jesus that brought Jesus to talk about this story of the Good Samaritan. Verse 25 says, behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested Jesus, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, what's written in the law? What is your reading of it? What do you see in God's law? So the guy answered, and he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus answered, said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, well, who's my neighbor? Thus, Jesus began to tell the story of the Good Samaritan. You see, the guy knew. He's trying to trick Jesus, back him into a corner, but he knew how to have eternal life. He said it. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two greatest commandments. The two greatest commandments. And the guy just said them right there. But yet he wanted to trick Jesus, so Jesus told him this story. The story about how to inherit eternal life. How do you inherit eternal life? Allowing God's love to flow through you. Of course, following the two commandments, the two greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And allow God's compassion to flow through you. And again, this is what God requires of us. Not half of us. Not some of us. Not just your Sundays. Can I hear an amen? Not just your some days. Not just the chump change that's, you know, making noise in your pocket, but that you would give it all to God. God, everything I have is yours. You tell me. You tell me in your word. What do you want me to do? How you want me to live? How do you want me to live this life that my life will glorify and honor you? To love the Lord your God with all and your neighbor. And then he connects the compassion of a Samaritan man who had that he had for a stranger. You see, it's not that we have to go find someone who's been mugged. You know, I'm not telling you to go to Jacksonville or Atlanta and go find somebody who's mugged and left on the side of the road. We can find a lot of people just in our neighborhood who needs help, who needs to hear Jesus, who needs to see the light is on. And the light is on in us because of God's compassion flowing through us. Did you know that serving others doesn't make you holier? Do you know that giving to missions doesn't make God love you more? Oh, I'm going to give a whole bunch this time, the next 6 months, because God's going to love me more. No, he's not going to love you more. God loves you so much that it just can't continue to go on because it's that great. So regardless of what you give, but the question lies with this. In whatever you're giving, are you giving half-heartedly or wholeheartedly to the Lord? Are you giving what you want to give, or are you giving what he wants you to give? Are you giving with your distorted view of compassion, or are you giving with his perfect and great example of compassion? It's important that we understand this. Let me just go down to my third point here. His compassion leaves us with a choice. I think I already said that. It leaves us with a choice. Our compassion for missions will be demonstrated by our giving and our praying for missions. Our compassion for Camden County will be demonstrated by our availability to pray and to serve and to meet the needs of those in Camden. Our compassion for the needy will be demonstrated by our giving and praying, especially for the one-day Convoy of Hope. Our one day transforms their every day. God is leading us in this every single day. We just need to be looking for it. And today we are all being challenged to lead, to have compassion, his compassion for the lost. And Joe, if you go ahead and begin to play that altar call, and I just want to ask that this altar call is going to be different. I'm not going to, in the beginning, Shannon and I are not going to be up here to pray for you. We'll be up here in a little bit. But what I want you guys to understand is God's creating this altar call for you, the benefit you, that if you're compassion is not his. The compassion that's inside of you, the love that's inside of you, if it's not his, you need to change it. It's distorted. It's selfish. I don't even have to know your story, but I can tell you, if it's not God's love and compassion flowing through you, it's selfish. It's self-centered. It's conveniently giving, because that's just who we are. You could be the nicest person in this room. Look to the right, look to the left, see if that's the nicest person in the room. You could be the nicest person in the room, and yet if you do not have God's compassion flowing through you, the light is not on. The light is not on because it's not his compassion. So if that's you today, I just want to ask that if you have prayer for wisdom, prayer for healing, prayer because you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we will pray with you. We want to just give this opportunity right now for reflection of what the Holy Spirit is saying about God's compassion flowing through you. It needs to. It needs to, so that we can illuminate his love in this world.